Peter stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
And those that are able, let's kneel. Well, Father in heaven, we come humbly before you today, knowing that you're the creator of this universe, and that you've given so much to us, your Son, Christ. We thank you for what you've done for us through Christ, through his blood, through his perfect life, for our salvation, that you see us through your Son and not at our own sins. We thank you for taking care of us, your family, your children. And we just kind of like these little children this morning. We are in your arms and ask that you bless us. We know that we're living in the times of the end because we see so much stuff happening. We have like the national debt. In the news, we see the floods, then drought, then heat, and starvation. We know your coming is really soon, and we look forward to that, Father. And we want to tell everybody about you. Help us as we do that through our various missions in ADRA, our satellites, our Adventist World Radio, and our internet, but help us especially in our personal lives as we meet individuals, our families, especially our families, but as we interact with the people in our community, and that we will represent you, and that people will be drawn to you because of you living in our lives. You've given us so many things, so many blessings, good health, jobs, family, homes, food and clothes. We look around the world and we see so many people that don't have this. We're blessed. And we thank you for freedom to do what we need to do, especially in spreading the news, the good news of your salvation. Right now we have people that have health concerns that need your healing touch. We ask a special blessing on them. People that have financial needs, people that have not enough coming in and more going out. And we just pray, Father, that you will be the answer in each of these situations. Heal us today from the sin problem. And especially be with the people that are in relationships that are hurting, that are having difficulty. People that have lost family members, especially be with the Tenbrick family, with Paul, as they mourn the loss of their mother and a spouse. And this morning, Father, we worship you in our spirit and in truth, and we ask a special outpouring of your Holy Spirit as your angels surround us, fill us to overflowing, so that when we leave here, as we enter your mission field, help us to carry you with us. Draw us close to you right now, and as we enter your throne room, we pray that you will come soon. Thank you for hearing us and being with us and being with the pastor and for blessing us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Been a fun week. You know, I was struggling with what to share with you today, and I came upon the concept of the Good Shepherd. And there were a lot of Good Shepherds here this week, in the adults that helped us, and the teenagers that helped us, and even the elementary kids that were here leading out and helping this Vacation Bible School be one, if not the best ever. What an exciting week it has been. We were debating with what to leave and what to tear down, and there were seagulls actually flying through the sanctuary. And I decided to take those down to help us this afternoon with the memorial service. You know, I was working with the Ten Brink family, and I said, you know, this is Vacation Bible School week, and the decorations will still be there. And they said, that's a good thing, because Louise loved children. And she loved nature. And so she would be right at home with us leaving the setup here for the memorial service. So thank you to them, Karen and Paul and Marilee and Shelley and your families. Wow. Well, you know, it's hard to shift gears for a pastor when you come every night and you hear the enthusiasm of your kids. To slow down and be still and know God as an adult. Because being a kid is a lot of fun. It really is. They are full of fire. And they've been having fun this week, and they started out with a question that says, who is Jesus? And they discovered the answer. Who is he? Read it for me, because I'm looking at the back. Isn't that cool? Does God love you? Well, now you can ask your children how much God loves you, and they should be able to give you the answer, right? That was day one. Day two. What's the question? Why can I trust Jesus? Do you know the answer? There it is. What's the answer? All right. So your children are learning about who Jesus is and his work for us. Well, in our story today, a lawyer had approached Jesus. Now, this man, this lawyer, you know, was sensing the Holy Spirit working in his life. And he, the lawyer, was drawn to Jesus. He understood that the Pharisaical way wasn't really where he wanted to go. And he wanted to get close to Jesus, and he did get close to Jesus, close enough to ask him this important question. And it says, who is my neighbor? So I'm going to ask you this morning, who is your neighbor? Actually, the question that the lawyer asked Jesus says, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Bigger question. Jesus takes that question and turns it into, who is my neighbor? And gives him the answer. And he does it with a story. Now, you all have been through the Good Samaritan story many times. Probably too many to count. But there's always new lessons to learn from this story. So let's review it quickly. Remember what happened? The gentleman was passing on his way to Jerusalem, and he was up in the mountains in a very dangerous place. It was known for its robbers. It was known as a place that you probably didn't want to travel alone. If you traveled through that part, you wanted to have a company of people with you. There's security in numbers. But this man was alone. And he was attacked, he was robbed, he was beaten, and left basically for dead. He was probably stripped of his clothing. And you know the story, along comes a priest, a Jewish priest. And we don't know the nationality of the man that was beaten, but probably a Jew. And the Jewish priest looks in the distance, he sees the man lying there, and he slowly edges over to the other side of the path, kind of keeping his eye on the victim there, and just hurries on by. Short time later, a Levite comes by. Now, Levites were the ones that assisted in the temple. Now, a pastor or somebody who works in the church should be willing to help, right? The priest didn't want to, but the Levite too sees what's happening, and he too passes as far as he can away from the injured man and goes on his journey. Soon thereafter, here comes the Samaritan with his, probably a donkey or a mule, could have been a horse, we don't know, but he comes along and something different happens this time. He looks ahead and he sees the injured man and he stops right there where the man is and he gets off his animal and he gets down and he begins to check on the man, and taking his vital signs and checking his pulse and noticing that he's really wounded, he says, "Man, I need to help you." And he goes back and gets his first aid kit out of his bag and sits down with the man and begins to pour oil on his wounds and wrap them up. And then he tenderly lifts him up and places him on his animal, and off they go. And when he gets to town, he goes to the inn and he says to the innkeeper, "I need a room for this man." And he gives him 2 denarii. And the man is then taken care of. And the Good Samaritan says, "Now I'm going on to do business, but I will be back and keep tabs on what is spent. And if you need more money, I will pay it. Take good care of this man." And so as Jesus finishes that story, he said to the lawyer, "Which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves?" And the lawyer replied, "He who showed mercy on him." Jesus' counsel to that lawyer in verse 37 of Luke 10 is, "Go and do likewise." My friends, as Christians in the 21st century, what is our role? Has the responsibility shifted or changed? Or is that advice as applicable today as it was then? And the answer is yes. That's challenging for us. When you think about, as Karen was talking, and those of you that are involved in the pantry know how many needy people there are out there. And some come in wheelchairs, some come on crutches, some have issues in their lives. You know, I find as a pastor the challenge is to know when there is a true need and when you are being what we would call duped. That's a kinder word. I've experienced that, which makes me a little more cautious. But I remember once when I was in need. Let me tell the story real quick. Not exactly the same, but it's close, where you had to trust somebody else. with what little you had. Here was the story. It was a summer up in Hollister, California. I had our old 1941 bobtail and was running the combine on Pacheco Pass in a farm field out there. And I had to go down about 5 or 6 miles away to unload the grain so I could continue my journey in harvesting the grain. And on the way back, I ran out of gas. Now you see, the old 41 didn't have a gas gauge. And I'm on a really tight piece of highway. There's no place to pull off. I mean, I'm hugging the bank, because there were banks on both sides. And I couldn't get off the road enough, so I was blocking part of the lane of traffic going the direction I'm going, but I'm out of gas. And I had no cell phone in those days. Remember that? So what do? Well, you do the first thing. You get out little triangular safety signs, and I walked behind the truck, and I dropped them so people would know there was a problem ahead. And so along comes a state car. He had to stop because of oncoming traffic. Now, can you trust a state worker? You would think so, right? And I said, "Sir, I need help. There's a gas station about a mile up the road. Would you please go and bring me back some gas so I can get this thing off the road?" Now, I didn't offer him any money. He didn't ask for any. "Sure, I'll be right back." Well, 30 minutes went by, and I never saw him again, ever. And I'm going, now what do I do? Finally, a truck or a Jeep came by, one of the local farmers, and he says, "Hey, you're in trouble. I have a chain. Let me pull you up to the pull-off at the top of the hill." I said, "Oh, hallelujah." So we hooked on, and I left my two triangular signs. I said, "I'll walk back and get those," and off we go. I left an important piece out. Before that happened, remember the old 54 Chevys, four doors? Maybe it was even, no, it was more like a 52. And I look inside, and they pulled up and stopped. And now I'm dressed in the finest of clothes, you know, my farmer attire. Blue jeans, white t-shirt. And I look like a hayseed because I've been harvesting grain. Chaff all over me and all of that stuff. Well, these four dudes stopped, long hair, hippie looking. "Hey, man, what's the problem?" "So I'm out of gas." "Well, give us some money and we'll go get you some." You're laughing. That's what they said. I had $2 in my pocket. Now, gas was a lot cheaper in those days. I'm wrestling with an important decision over $2. Do I give them a dollar or not? I wasn't going to give them all because I needed to put more money, gas in, when I got to the top of the hill. So I pull out a dollar. I hand them a dollar. They said, "We'll be right back." And then the farmer shows up. So off they go, and then the farmer. So I'm now parked on the top of the hill. Haven't seen them yet. Haven't seen the state man either. Now it's been about an hour since he went down the road. So I walk back down to get my triangular signs, and I come back up, and I'm going, there's no white car, there's no hippies. And I'm going, see, can't trust anybody. But then I walked around the truck. The gas tank was on the right side, the passenger side. And I look on the running board, and there's a blue towel from the gas station. I reached down, picked up the towel, and got it closed. It definitely had the smell of gas on it. I went, aha, somebody came back and put gas in my truck. Okay, Lord, fired it up, off I go. Question, who came back? Who can you trust? Who is your neighbor? That day, I had four hippie friends who took care of me. Now, I don't know if they put a quarter of gas in or a full dollar. It doesn't matter. I got to where I needed to go. In the world in which we live today, now, that would have been in the 70s, and now we're a lot further down the road, aren't we? Rochelle says 60. Yeah, it probably was the 60s. Farther back than I thought. But here we are. Who is your neighbor? Anyone who needs your help. Anyone. Whoa. That's pretty sombering, isn't it? Well, what I love about this church is you've heard a lot about our pantry, and the pantry, you're going to hear more about them next week, because next Sabbath, in fact, I want to share this with you, because next Sabbath, the main feature and main focus of the service will be acknowledging the many volunteers that there are that make this church hum and go. You know, when you stop and think about it, there are only about four, five, six at the most paid staff or individuals that are actually paid in any amount. The rest of the operation of this church is by a marvelous church family who takes God's commission seriously to have a place of worship, to have exciting children's programs, to have and provide a comfortable place to come together as the family of God and to worship Him together. So more on that next Sabbath. But I again want to thank Jody Jones and her team for a marvelous Vacation Bible School. Oh, it was exciting. If you were here at all as a parent or a volunteer, would you stand just for a second? Yes, give them a hand. Some of you are not standing. Wow, what a week. I mean, it's a week that I always look forward to, but when it comes to Friday, I'm going, last night as we were networking with the team together, we're going, boy, we're glad it's Friday. We're even happier at Sabbath. But what a great week it has been, and how God has richly blessed your children. And I leave you with the last question that they answered. What is it? And here's the answer. What does He want you to do? Fired up. Fired up. How do you do that? You pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you. And just visualize the tongue of fire resting over your head. As on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended with power, and after that day, the disciples went out with a renewed energy and vigor to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And shortly thereafter, 3,000 came to Jesus in one day. Not long after that, 5,000. Why can't that be happening today? It can. It is. Let's make it happen through the power and grace and leadership of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Are you ready to do what Jesus wants you to do? Let's stand for a closing hymn.
Where's my band members? Oh, here they are. Okay. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Okay, just jump in when you're ready. Here we go. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Only Satan, blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Only Satan, blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it,
so what is it? All around the neighborhood. We forgot that one.
All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
That's Jesus' desire for us. As we leave here today, remember this simple song with a powerful message. Let His light shine. Jesus, thank you for your grace that has filled our hearts and lives today. Thank you for our children, our parents, our grandparents, our church family. I ask for a very special anointing and blessing on each and every one of them. And guide and lead us and keep us close to you. Fill us full to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.